Into the Nunninor by Walter Franklin Osgood. Narrator, Aidan Johnson. Prologogol. The blank map in 1803, the map of North America that hung on the wall of Thomas Jefferson's study at the President's House in Washington, showed a continent half known. Everything east of the Mississippi was mapped in considerable detail. The coastlines, the major rivers, the cities and towns of a young republic now stretching from the Atlantic to the Great River Valley. West of the Mississippi was something else, a vast whiteness interrupted by guesses and rumors, by the names of rivers that explorers had found at their mouths, but never followed to their sources, by mountain ranges whose extent and elevation were unknown, by nations of people whose existence was documented in trade goods and stories passed from tribe to tribe, but whose lands had never been accurately mapped. Jefferson had been thinking about that whiteness for decades. He was a scientist as well as a statesman, and the blank spaces on the map were to him as troubling as a problem left unsolved. Evidence of human ignorance that it was the scientist's duty to correct. He had been planning an expedition to the Pacific since before the Revolution. He had tried twice to organize one and failed. The Louisiana Purchase of 1803, which doubled the size of the Republic overnight by acquiring from Napoleon the vast French claim to the western interior, gave him both the political justification and the urgency for what he had long intended. He chose his private secretary, Meriwether Lewis, a young army captain from Virginia, who had grown up hunting the Virginia mountains, and who had what Jefferson recognized as the combination of scientific curiosity, physical courage, and practical intelligence that the expedition required. Lewis chose his army friend William Clark as co-commander. Together they assembled the Corps of Discovery, a military expedition of 33 men and one woman, Sacajawea, the Shoshone wife of a French-Canadian trader, and set out from Camp Dubois, across the Missouri River from St. Moni. Louis, in May 1804. What followed was one of the great journeys in the history of exploration. 8,000 miles over 2.5 years, from the Missouri River's junction with the Mississippi to the mouth of the Columbia on the Pacific coast, through terrain that no American of European descent had ever traversed. The Corps crossed the Great Plains, forded the Rockies in the Bitterroot Mountains, descended to the Pacific, wintered in rain and cold, and returned to Sainte Louis in September 1806, with all but one man who had started the journey. They came back with something worth the price, the first systematic American account of what lay between the Mississippi and the Pacific, the most extensive natural history collection yet assembled from the American West, a detailed record of the continent's geography, and the knowledge that a route to the Pacific existed, however difficult. The blank map was not yet full. It would take another generation to fill it in, but it was no longer entirely blank. This is the story of the Corps of Discovery, the men who made it, the peoples they encountered, the landscape they crossed, and the knowledge they brought back. It is a story about exploration, but it is also a story about encounter, the meeting of cultures across the blank spaces of the map, with consequences that extended far beyond what any of the parties to the meeting could have imagined. The origins of the expedition. Chapter 1. Jefferson's Dream, the Louisiana Purchase, and the Unknown West. Thomas Jefferson's fascination with the American West began long before the Louisiana Purchase made that fascination politically consequential. As a Virginia planter who had grown up with the Blue Ridge Mountains as the western horizon of his childhood world, as a scientist who read every account of American geography and natural history he could obtain, and as a political philosopher who believed that the Republic's future required space, specifically the vast space of an agricultural hinterland that would support a nation of independent farmers indefinitely. Jefferson had been thinking about the Trans-Mississippi West for most of his adult life. The Louisiana Purchase in 1803 was the political expression of what had been, for 30 years, a scientific and philosophical obsession. The purchase was not planned, it was opportunistic. Jefferson had sent James Monroe and Robert Livingston to Paris in early 1803 with instructions to purchase the city of New Orleans and, if possible, the surrounding territory at the mouth of the Mississippi. New Orleans was the outlet through which American goods from the Mississippi Valley reached the sea. Its control by a European power was an intolerable strategic vulnerability for a republic whose western settlements depended on river commerce. Jefferson was prepared to pay up to $10 million for the city.